W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. States from Pennsylvania to Massachusetts are bracing for a powerful winter snowstorm. The good news? CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
As quickly as this storm arrives, it will be gone. So it starts with the morning commute, and it is gone before the evening commute.
Schools in New York and Boston are closed. New York City police looking for suspects in a deadly shooting at a subway station. CBS New York, Sally Bauman.
A total of six people were shot, the youngest, a 14-year-old girl, and the oldest, a 71-year-old man. Police say a 35-year-old man died at the hospital.
Defense Secretary Austin still hospitalized for bladder issues weeks after suffering complications from prostate cancer surgery. CBS's David Martin.
Despite the complications, Austin's doctors say his chances of beating the cancer are still excellent. When the White House was asked if the president has any concerns about Austin's ability to continue in the job, the answer was not at all.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least one Republican has announced their candidacy to replace outgoing Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher announced he would not seek another term Saturday. Former State Senator Roger Roth has already announced his plan to run for the seat. Roth served as senator from 2017 until 2021 and ran for lieutenant governor alongside Tim Michaels in 2022. Current State Senator Andre Jacques and GOP consultant Alex Brusewitz have also expressed interest in the seat. No Democrats have announced their intention yet to run for the seat. A leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Pocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, it's such a, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys, I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. From Super Bowl 58, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 26. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, 44 for a high with a little light rain and a little light snow possible tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Thursday, we'll clear out with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allbaugh, noon till 3 on Tuesday. It's Tuesday Tangents with our old Luke Mathers. Also, what grinds your gears right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
FM, 1670 AM, The Zone. Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Boy, that is very true on a Tuesday morning. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. So glad to have you along with us. Before I get into all the food-related news we're bringing to you this morning, let's get to that weather forecast. Temperatures are definitely going to be changing today. You'll notice it as soon as you walk outside. As far as our daytime highs are concerned, today we're only going to touch out around 38 degrees. Partly cloudy skies on the way. The winds a little bit stronger today out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, but 46 degrees. Thursday, morning clouds, afternoon sun. Thursday, now they're talking about 36 as an expected high with a 24% chance of rain. Friday, 22% chance of rain, 28 the expected high. Saturday, 33. Sunday, 41 degrees. Looks like front part of next week now we're going to be back in the 40s. I know there's a changing weather system swirling around us. I'll have Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, talk more about that in about 10, 15 minutes or so. It's a Tuesday. That means our friends from the Total Farm Marketing crew are going to be joining us. John Heinberg, market advisor, coming up on a Tuesday. And yesterday, the official process for soliciting funds to improve rural infrastructure in Wisconsin began. The Agriculture Road Improvement Program. Applications are available now, but guess what? You, as a producer, as a farmer, are going to have to jumpstart the process and get your local officials involved. Talking more about that as well as the morning unfolds. Thanks for joining us.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The 35 Under 35 program is a great way to recognize young farmers and ag professionals for all the hard work that they do on sustainability. Through this program, I've really gotten to see a lot of different perspectives on how everybody defines sustainability differently. You're really going to have a great network of people to lean on in the future if you have any questions or any issues that may arise.
WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers.
A vision for agriculture.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Love is in the air. And you know what that means? It's time to dust off those cheesy pickup lines and get ready for Valentine's Day as it approaches faster than Cupid's arrow. But before you panic, buy a giant teddy bear or a heart-shaped box of chocolates, let's take a moment to appreciate the unsung heroes of this romantic holiday, florists. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Have you ever wondered how florists prepare for that surge of orders and the details behind crafting those stunning arrangements that really capture the essence of love? Well, Nicole Campbell, owner of Petal Pusher Floral Studio and Wisconsin and Upper Michigan Florist Association president, says they actually began preparing all the way back in December. She shares more about how she gears up for the Valentine's Day rush and other trends throughout the year.
Obviously, there is a tremendous demand at Valentine's Day, probably the highest, most peak demand of the entire calendar year. But it's not a new holiday, so the florists are used to kind of ramping up for it, and everything seems good to go.
What types of flowers are more prevalent during Valentine's Day, or which ones are people asking for most? I have a feeling it's probably roses, but I'm sure there's others I'm not thinking about.
Yeah, roses are always the classic, and that will probably never change. But I would say probably number two, at least, you know, in this Midwest area, is tulips. Because I think so much of our area is kind of in the middle of winter, so to speak, that it's just really delightful to think about something that's kind of on the horizon for spring, and to be able to have those in the middle of winter, I think just lifts people's spirits. So those tend to be a really popular choice.
How soon do you start getting
calls for orders for Valentine's Day? Is there a certain cutoff you have to have just to make sure you can have everything here in time? Or take me through that process.
We actually start ordering the flowers, like telling the farms what we're looking for, back in December. Because it takes them a period of time to actually grow this product. So we have to actually place our orders with the farms in December. So we're kind of trying to anticipate, you know, what people are going to be looking for and how much we're going to need and that sort of thing. So it's important for us to keep diligent notes every year for the holidays looking forward. Most of our customers, however, are not even thinking about Valentine's Day until, you know, mid-January is maybe when we first start to see a couple of people who are planner aheaders place their orders. But honestly, the majority of people don't think about it until it's the week of or even the day of.
Just curious, how much do you go through? Can you give me maybe some of the numbers behind how much do you actually order or how many orders do you complete?
Yeah, we go through, like, when I think about the flowers that I have ordered, we'll go through thousands of stems of flowers. You know, it's a week's worth of volume literally condensed into a day. So it's totally different than our day-to-day operations. So we'll go through thousands of stems of product. On Valentine's Day itself, we'll probably make somewhere between, like, 150 to 200 deliveries in one day. So our staff, like, I have friends and family of employees who we recruit to come in and help us for the day, whether it's running deliveries or just answering the phone. I mean, it's just a mind-boggling day, and I'm always thrilled and relieved when it's done.
Well, even, I think, prepping out a little farther with Mother's Day, I know I get my mom flowers every year for that. How are you guys preparing for that? Are there anything you're working on now for that as well?
We pretty much get through Valentine's Day, and then that's when we start to think about Mother's Day. So nothing that we have to be ready for yet, but Mother's Day is kind of a different holiday. Valentine's Day is very much a one-day focused event, but Mother's Day, we actually see that bump in sales and busyness all week long. It's not just specific to one day. So it is kind of different, and obviously there's a lot more to choose from, to be honest, come Mother's Day, because things are starting to warm up. We're starting to have the option of plants that can go outside. So it's just a different sort of holiday. And hopefully the weather will cooperate and we'll have lovely springy weather for Mother's Day.
Now, looking at just being able to get these flowers for these events and throughout your year, how are you keeping an eye on the crop overseas?
We have a lot of growers that we have really good relationships with, so they kind of keep us informed more so. They'll let us know if there's anything that's going to be problematic or anything that they anticipate being in short supply. So they kind of give us recommendations going in so that if there is anything that they expect an issue with, we know that ahead of time so we can encourage our customers to make a different choice or have a different option available for them.
And where do you get most of them from when it does come from coming overseas? And I know you mentioned you haven't had any issues with supply chain, correct?
No, things have really evened out compared to where we were, you know, when we were in the midst of the pandemic and even coming out of that. Things have really bounced back beautifully in our industry. But a lot of it comes, there's wonderful products being grown in South America, particularly roses and hydrangea and chrysanthemums. But we also see a ton of stuff obviously come through that very famous Dutch auction that everybody knows about. A lot of product moves through there as well. And then there are other little regions in the world that do kind of their specialty products, like peonies from Alaska and things like that. So it really is a worldwide industry.
And what's really unique about your shop is you do have your own flower farm, so that helps. But can you tell me, what is it like? What do you grow? How has really the drought that we've experienced and now a pretty mild winter affected your flowers?
Well, the mild winter is interesting because I actually have daffodils and hyacinths that are peeking out of the ground, which is not normally something we would see at this time of year. So the mild winter is making for what might be a very interesting spring. My pussy willows have already started to pop, which is also incredibly early, but a happy timing for Valentine's Day because I'm thrilled to have the pussy willows available for that holiday. So yeah, we'll see exactly what the rest of the winter season has in store for us, if things are going to slow back down or if we really are going to forge ahead and have an early spring as the groundhog said we would. Time will tell. We were actually really fortunate. We have not been as dry as some other areas at our particular farm. So we haven't had too big of an issue with that, but we'll see what this growing season does too in that regard. Mother Nature is really the one in charge, and we just play along by her rules as best we can.
with your flowers that you grow, how many varieties do you grow? Or is there a certain one that you grow that maybe others don't?
I don't know that we grow anything that other people aren't, but we do grow, because as a florist, we do a lot of wedding work. So we do tend to grow the flowers that are very popular for our brides. And those include peonies and dahlias are probably the two biggest crops. And then scabiosa and lisianthus probably being the next two down. A lot of farms do grow those, but we really tend to lean into exactly what our brides are wanting to carry. So we focus a lot on those elements.
And throughout the year, I know earlier we talked about what types of flowers people are wanting for Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, mm-hmm. but throughout their year, roughly, what do people really gravitate towards, and how has that changed over the years?
It does change as trends change. You know, people are seeing different things on Instagram and Pinterest, and that, you know, like lisianthus, most people didn't know what that was a few years ago, and now it's something people are asking for by name. So it just becomes a matter of what people are seeing and posting and sharing, and those become popular things. But then, of course, there are the classics, you know, things like sunflowers and roses and hydrangea. Those are never going to go away. But we always have these new products that kind of come out. And dahlias are another one, too. You know, that wasn't a flower that people really coveted the way they do now. And now there are people paying a lot of money for dahlia tubers for some of the really unique cultivars and that sort of thing. So that's one that's been very popular as of late. And ranunculus and anemones. People can't get enough of those either. Even those are challenging products to grow here in the Midwest, but they are lovely ones.
And as a florist, I know it's not just the flowers. You guys need a lot more products to really make these beautiful bouquets for our customers. You need the vases, the ribbons, the gems, and mm-hmm. so many things behind the scenes. How are things looking on that front for you?
That has all really evened itself out well, too. There were some challenges, again, with the pandemic and post-pandemic, of some different supplies and different adhesives and certain things we use being in very short supply and having to find alternatives to them, in fact. But now that has really kind of evened itself out. So far, smooth sailing, and hopefully that'll carry into the wedding season as well.
What other trends are you seeing in the floral industry?
We are definitely seeing a lot more customers start to ask about where their flowers are grown, caring about focusing on local options if there is a local, you know, product available. So that's really exciting to see. I think that's happening as a trend across the floral industry. And then that opens up new products that otherwise we couldn't always get. You know, there are some products that just don't handle being shipped well, like Cosmos daisies and Feverfew and some of those more delicate blooms. That now, because they can be grown locally and farmers are starting to do that, they're becoming more readily available. So it actually improves the variety of things we can work with, which is really exciting.
That was Nicole Campbell, owner of Petal Pusher Floral Studio and Wisconsin and Upper Michigan Florist Association president, along with us. Whether you're knee-deep in bromance or just enjoying the chocolates you bought for yourself, thank your local florists for their hard work during this holiday and all events that you might have throughout the year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
African-American soldiers have participated in every major U.S. war, but often served with only black troops. In 1948, President Harry Truman signed an executive order that integrated the United States Armed Forces following the end of World War II. This action supported the rights of black soldiers and is still considered one of the earliest signs of desegregation. Today, more than 30% of the military is black. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you? Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly, you can share hope and find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. Apply today at 988lifelinecounselor.org. Family Services is an equal opportunity.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM.
Talking about the new agriculture road improvement program that they just opened yesterday. And, you know, this mild winter, you'd think it would be good for our roads, but in reality, they tell me it's just not. That underlayer of underneath that blacktop never got a frost, never got a freeze, you know?
Right. Well, we don't get the frost heave when it starts to thaw in spring, but it's never firmed up well.
Correct.
Either, so.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we were talking about. And judging by the temperatures, it doesn't look like we're really going to get that freeze coming anytime real soon for real long.
Yeah, not the freeze. It's going to get colder as we head toward Friday and the weekend. But there's going to be a little snow possibility as well as we head toward tomorrow night into early Thursday. I know we've talked about rain and what could be some snow. I think it starts as rain and does change over to snow in the night and last into early Thursday. A lot of the models I'm seeing indicating the low itself traveling right through northern Illinois, so just off to our south. If that were to be the case, I would say some of the heavier snow, several inches accumulating, La Crosse to Mauston to Fond du Lac and over to Sheboygan, right in that stripe of Wisconsin from southwest Minnesota over toward the eastern part of the state to just a bit south of Lake Winnebago. There could be some 1 to 3 inch, maybe 4 inch amounts in that area. So we're going to talk about a little snow. And I would expect that means some cleanup Thursday morning. At the same time, as that low pulls away, the temperatures moderate today and tomorrow, way above normal Wednesday. And then that cold air slips through with that low. We stay a lot closer to freezing Thursday. And in fact, I'd say Friday, freezing or below. So maybe some cold February weather as we wrap up this week or start toward the weekend as well. A little sunshine turning out toward the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier, Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch and travel video, or call 888-557-1020 today.
Picture this, you in a company vehicle traveling across the picturesque landscapes of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Your mission? To provide top-notch service and installations of milking equipment. Tri-County Dairy Supply is on the lookout for dynamic service technicians to join their teams in Janesville and Watertown. If you've got experience in farming, electrical work, plumbing, welding, refrigeration, or maintenance, send your resumes to tricountydairy@tds.net or apply in person in Janesville. Must have a valid driver's license. Don't miss this opportunity.
All right, buddy. Tell me a little bit more about this weather. So it's a kind of an on-again, off-again pattern we're going into, huh?
Yeah, well, we get a little climb up in temps here today, tomorrow. Call it mostly cloudy or even partly sunny. I think the sun will break through, but the clouds kind of stubborn today. And we hold in the upper 30s with the northwest wind at 5 to 10. Not a bad February day. Partly cloudy overnight, mid-20s. North winds about 5. Some sunshine tomorrow and into the 40s. Mid or even upper 40s. Could be up to 48 in western Wisconsin. South winds about 5 to 10. But then Wednesday night, rain mixing with changing to snow, accumulating through the night into early Thursday. A cloudy, breezy day Thursday, snow early ending. Then the lower 30s, 34, maybe a 35 here or there. Northwest winds 10 to 20, gusting 25 or better. And Pam, I'd still say that southwest Minnesota to eastern Wisconsin, 1 to 3 inches could be a possibility. We'll have to watch. It could go a little further north or south, though. So there's going to be a little cleanup.
We'll talk about it tomorrow because you said it's Wednesday night into Thursday, hey?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, man. See you later.
See ya.
Stumach, our ag meteorologist, giving you a heads up on the weather details to be paying attention to. I'm giving you a heads up. We are going to be talking with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, as usual for Tuesday morning. Market's pretty quiet, but I'm sure John's got his eye on some story we'll discuss. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station.
CBS News Brief. States from Pennsylvania to Massachusetts are bracing for a powerful winter snowstorm. The good news? CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
As quickly as this storm arrives, it will be gone. So it starts with the morning commute, and it is gone before the evening commute.
Schools in New York and Boston are closed. New York City police looking for suspects in a deadly shooting at a subway station. CBS New York, Sally Bauman.
A total of 6 people were shot, the youngest a 14-year-old girl and the oldest a 71-year-old man. Police say a 35-year-old man died at the hospital.
Defense Secretary Austin still hospitalized for bladder issues weeks after suffering complications from prostate cancer surgery. CBS's David Martin.
Despite the complications, Austin's doctors say his chances of beating the cancer are still excellent. When the White House was asked if the president has any concerns about Austin's ability to continue in the job, the answer was not at all.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least one Republican has announced their candidacy to replace outgoing Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher. Gallagher announced he would not seek another term Saturday. Former state Senator Roger Roth has already announced his plan to run for the seat. Roth served as senator from 2017 until 2021 and ran for lieutenant governor alongside Tim Michaels in 2022. Current state Senator Andre Jacques and GOP consultant Alex Brusewitz have also expressed interest in the seat. No Democrats have announced their intention yet to run for the seat. A leading Democrat says Republicans may be setting a trap for the governor if they pass his maps. Congressman Mark Pocan tweets Republicans could appeal those maps in federal court, and if they do, Wisconsin's current maps would stay in place through November. Many Democrats want the state Supreme Court to draw the maps. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from Super Bowl 58. The Chiefs beat the 49ers 25-22 in overtime to become only the second team in over 20 years to win back-to-back NFL championships. Patrick Mahomes named the game's most valuable player, and what made the difference for Kansas City?
The attitude of the team, it's special, and I'm proud of the guys, man. I mean, we battled through and through all the way through the playoffs into the Super Bowl, and just like our whole season, it came down to the last play.
Tight end Travis Kelce caught on video shoving and yelling at Coach Andy Reid before halftime when the team was struggling.
You know, he bumps into me, I get after him, and we understand that. He loves to play the game. He wants to help his team win. It's not a selfish thing.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan on losing again to the Chiefs in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I heard the most for the players. Those are the guys. I mean, it's such a, can't tell you guys how long it takes to get here. Our guys, I heard for the most.
That's 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan from Super Bowl 58. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Tuesday, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny discuss the hottest topics in education news.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 26. Tomorrow, sunny and warmer, 44 for a high with a little light rain and a little light snow possible tomorrow night into Thursday morning. Thursday, we'll clear out with a high near 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
African-American soldiers have participated in every major U.S. war, but often served with only black troops. The 1948 President Harry Truman signed an executive order that integrated the United States Armed Forces following the end of World War II. This action supported the rights of black soldiers and is still considered one of the earliest signs of desegregation. Today, more than 30% of the military is black. Listen for more Black History Stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on AM 1400, 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're a lot.
We're trying.
Yeah.
We
radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
In the moment these days, you know, look, take games, for example, right, Evo? It's the best game you've ever seen. It's the greatest play in NBA history. It's the most remarkable moment the NFL has ever seen. We get so sucked in to the micro, into the here and now. And
hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Partly cloudy skies as we start our Tuesday. We'll top out today around 38 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 46. On Thursday, morning clouds, afternoon sun. 36 our expected high. Friday, looks like we're going to stay dry. Clouds and 28 degrees before we hit the weekend. Glad you're along with us, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke. Tickled to have you join us. Hey, I don't want you to forget, I'm still collecting barnyard baby pictures. You can send those to me via our fabulous Farm Babe Facebook post. You can also send them to me via email, pam@midwestfarmreport.com. So far, we've got nearly 500 folks that have gotten involved in our barnyard baby photo updates, and we're going to be sharing those with folks kind of right on through springtime. Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook or pam@midwestfarmreport.com. We've got John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, on the way. And yesterday, focused in on the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. State making available about $150 million in funds to improve Wisconsin's rural infrastructure. $50 million will be involved in the first round of grants. Application period is open now. More on that in just a moment. So today is the 13th day of February. What can I tell you? Well, let's see. On this day, back in 1948, Wisconsin's potato growers were officially recognized. The Articles of Incorporation for Potato Growers of Wisconsin, officially recognized by the Secretary of the State of Wisconsin on this day back in 1948. They organized and had their regular meeting in Stevens Point. Let's see. On this day back in 2000, the last Peanuts comic strip was published. The 17,897th Peanuts comic strip was the last installment published in newspapers around the world. It happened the day following the death of its creator, Charles M. Schulz. Last Peanuts comic strip published on this date in 2000. On this date in 2004, the universe's largest known diamond is discovered. It's about 50 light years from Earth. Was nicknamed Lucy after the Beatles song Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. It is a white dwarf star discovered on this day back in 2004. Happy birthday to musician songwriter Peter Gabriel from Sledgehammer. He is 74 years young, and now you know. Well, more details are going to be made available over the next couple of weeks on the new Agriculture Road Improvement Program. This is something that Wisconsin agriculture had hoped for a very long time. Now, not necessarily as much money as we might like, just $150 million total for calendar year 2024, but it's a start. Rebecca Sweeney is the Senior Director of Programs and Policy with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. She says, well, a lot of folks think about road improvement to accommodate our large spring planting equipment and our harvest equipment. She says, in reality, it's the day-to-day wear conducting agribusiness in the state that really takes a toll.
Absolutely. Everything from dairy manufacturers, dairy processors, dairy farmers, but also all the folks that are doing crops, meat. Our rural communities are built on an economic foundation of agriculture. And unfortunately, our roads at this moment are crumbling. And so we need to shore up that infrastructure in order to grow our agricultural businesses and Wisconsin's economy.
This has been an issue for a while. Milk transportation, for example, we've been curtailing loads for a while because of the lack of infrastructure.
We absolutely have been, and it holds back progress and it holds back growth. So we're thrilled to see the Evers administration, the state legislature, and agency leaders come together to help us solve this problem, begin to solve this problem. $150 million is not going to solve every rural road issue out there, but it's a great start. And I think that it's going to show, as we see oversubscription in the program, the need for additional investment as we move forward.
Recap the numbers just from the Wisconsin cheesemaker's perspective on how much milk moves in Wisconsin on a daily basis.
It really boggles the mind, right? It's 88 million pounds of milk move over Wisconsin roadways every single day. And then on top of that, the finished product coming out of our plants adds to the loads, right? So we are putting effort into moving milk in and out of plants, and we are also putting some strain on those rural roads. So they need to be strengthened, they need improvement, and we're thrilled to see that possible due to this new Ag Roads Improvement Program.
Every time we have to take a different route to get someplace, it usually adds cost. What have you heard from your members as far as that escalating cost?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things in play here. There's cost to the fuel, right? In addition, you see dairy manufacturers and farmers working very hard toward more sustainable operations, which means they're trying to cut back on some of those fuel costs, not only in terms of the financial costs, but also, you know, what that does to our planet, right? So in addition to that, you see labor costs, right? When you have to take a longer route as opposed to the most direct route because the roads are in rough shape, it adds manpower hours that make us less competitive to some of our dairy manufacturers in other states that have stronger infrastructure. So from fuel costs to sustainability outcomes to labor, all of this is a success story. The fact that this is happening right now is a success story, and it puts us in a place where we're poised for more growth and stronger dairy businesses.
Rebecca Sweeney, she is the Senior Director of Programs and Policy with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. The Ag Road Improvement Program was supported widely by Wisconsin's Ag Coalition, which is made up of farm organizations, commodity groups, farm associations. Now, to be eligible for a grant under the program, a route or structure has to have been posted for weight for at least 1 month in the previous year, be maintained by a local government, and provide access to agricultural lands or facilities. Local governments can expect to have 90% of the cost for those projects funded by the state grant dollars. They are going to rank it by priority, so it's very important that you tell your story clearly. We'll be focused in on this for you over the course of the next couple of days. Want to find the application? Go online. WFBF.com, Wisconsin Farm Bureau website, can get you started. Also, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has materials available to help you along. We'll try to get some posted on our website as well. Fabulous Farm Babe. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're looking at the markets briefly before we catch up with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at HeadsUpST.com.
Picture this. You, in a company vehicle, traveling across the picturesque landscapes of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois. Your mission? To provide top-notch service and installations of milking equipment. Tri-County Dairy Supply is on the lookout for dynamic service technicians to join their teams in Janesville and Watertown. If you've got experience in farming, electrical work, plumbing, welding, refrigeration, or maintenance, send your resumes to tricountydairy@tds.net or apply in person in Janesville. Must have a valid driver's license. Don't miss this opportunity.
Markets in overnight electronic trade right now are a little bit mixed. Currently, we've got December new crop corn up a penny in Chicago at 470. Soybean market has been a little on the softer side. Right now, November new crop beans are unchanged at 1168. The July new crop wheat, as we roll into a Tuesday, currently 4 cents lower at 596. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a penny and three quarters to 159.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half, 158.5. Well, AA butter gained 2.25 cents to 271.25 per pound. As far as our fluid milk contracts are concerned, so far this morning, Class 3 milk for March up 8 cents at 1734 hundredweight. April milk closed 21 cents higher at 1756 hundredweight. Congratulations, Wisconsin vegetable producers. You did it again. Another big year. Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service said in 2023, our Wisconsin snap bean production covered more than 51,000 acres, putting Wisconsin in the number one spot producing snap beans with 48% of the nation's production. Also did real well with 55,000 acres of sweet corn, putting us in the number three spot nationally. Green pea production covered more than 28,000 acres. Cabbage production was a total 2.4 million hundredweight. And there were more than 6,900 acres of cucumbers that we harvested as well. Way to go. Coming up next, we're not talking about those markets, but we are talking about what's going on. Corn, beans, cattle, hogs, and fluid milk. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almaz Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almaz Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almaz Show. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
That talk text line is open to you anytime, day or night. You can call it and leave a message, or you can text 877-301-FARM. That's 877 301-3276. Let's bring John in this morning again. One of our broker analysts from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Website is totalfarmmarketing.com. And you can also pick up the phone and call him, 800-334-9779. It is a little quiet on the marketing front on a Tuesday morning, huh, John? I mean, we know that Sunday, or actually take that back, Saturday was the beginning of China's Lunar New Year celebration. Is that some of the chill in the marketplace?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, this is their time for that Lunar New Year. They kind of step aside from the market. Then on top of that, too, with the Lent season kicking in, Brazil is on holiday this week as well. So, you know, two of the major players in the marketplace are keeping things very, very quiet on the news front here. And, you know, and with that, prices might just have a hard time this week really moving anywhere unless there's something to push it. Obviously, when it comes to the grains, the focus now is on demand and the export market. What's happening there until we get into the spring planting window? And we'll start talking acres here in a couple of weeks, you know, as that acres intentions report in March becomes the next major focus, I would say, of the marketplace.
Yeah, I was just talking about the dicamba announcement from that federal court in Arizona and how that's really blindsiding a lot of growers in the South as far as weed control. But that's a subject for another day. Let's talk a little bit about the lackluster international market. Is the United States the only one that seems to be really feeling the pinch as far as business is concerned, John, or is everybody off, maybe with the exception of South America?
You know, right now, it just feels like because of the global economic situation, that everything's kind of being done hand to mouth. In other words, the money's not there with the higher interest rates. You know, these importers have to, you know, take, you know, financing against some of those shipments. And I think that's some of the factor that goes into play here. You know, just, you know, everybody focuses on China in terms of the export trade. But even those traditional buyers from the United States, Japan, Colombia for corn, South Korea, they've been behind the pace this year as well. Really, if it wasn't for Mexico, that would be a major impact in terms of where corn prices are even beyond here. But it's nice to see now the window for corn is kind of open here. We've seen good sales the last couple of weeks. We need them to kick in a little bit more yet beyond what we've been seeing. But the last 2 weeks, Japan's been the leading buyer versus Mexico. And then we saw a Colombia sale next week. So we're in that point now where at least the U.S. and the corn market is the only game in town or the best game in town. And we really need to get those bushels moving. On the soybean front, obviously, we are struggling against South America and Brazil, mainly as harvest is kicking in. They're about 20-25% harvested, and their prices obviously are well below us on the board. You look at their values, they're trading 90 cents under the March futures in terms of their export price, while the U.S. is about 60 cents over. So there's about $1.50 of value difference between U.S. beans and South American beans, and that's some of the reason we've seen the exports just dry up the last 2 weeks.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is with us live this morning. Their website, again, totalfarmmarketing.com, or call them 800-334-9779. What about transportation, John? Been a while since I heard any headlines about somebody taking a pot shot at a tanker or a vessel in the Red Sea. Is that transportation artery basically shut down? Give me an update there.
Yeah, basically the two major ones, obviously the Panama Canal continues to be restricted due to dryness issues and low water issues. So that's a factor that's adding to some of the export problems. And that Red Sea region due to the Houthi pirates, you know, continue to have things monitored there. We're hearing ships having to go all the way around through the Mediterranean, around Africa to get through that area instead of going through that area. You know, so that continues to be something that is affecting the costs and things that come to those importers. And again, another reason that the things in the marketplace are just not really popping right now is a pure fact that, again, those extra risks are out there and those extra costs are there. And that just obviously comes back to the price of the grain that we need to have. Doesn't matter if it's grain, meat, whatever it is, those transportation issues are still a factor and they still continue to kind of dominate this market just a little bit more quietly than it was because it's becoming an older news cycle.
Let's bring that here to home. Transportation up and down the Mississippi or whatever artery you want to look at. Pretty quick, we're going to be leaning on suppliers for fertilizer and all the rest of the items. I kind of haven't touched on what the Mississippi traffic, I mean, we know it's shut down, but what are we forecasting there?
Well, right now, river levels, for the most part, are fairly good shape. And you know, obviously, we'll see things. We'll need to really kind of focus on the weather as we go forward. But, you know, you go look at, you know, where Memphis is, which is a major focus point, currently running fairly well above its necessary, you know, depth levels. That was the big focus over here in the fall. We'll have to see how things are. There's still a pocket of dry weather across the, dry land across the center of the country. Does that moisture kick back in when we get to this stage? That river really starts flowing. Right now, though, the Mississippi River seems to be okay, at least in the southern part where we're moving things up and down the river to get things to the ports at this time frame, as well as things coming back up north, you know, getting ready for the spring planting window.
All right. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Watch what happens with this weather and precipitation levels. John Heinberg joining us live. Does that every Tuesday morning. We're happy to have him along. TotalFarmMarketing.com is their website. And again, that number, 800-334-9779. If you want to focus specifically on a question for John, you can send him an email as well at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. I'm croaking along here, John. Thanks for checking in. We'll catch up with you Tuesday. It'll be after a three-day weekend, but I'm sure we'll have something to talk about, huh?
Yes, we will. Typically, those three-day weekends are a lot of fun.
All right, man. We'll see you next week. Thanks, John.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live this morning. Like you said, we'll pick it up where we left it off coming up next Tuesday. Remember, Monday, President's Day. The markets will be idle. We are anything but idle. We're back along with you tomorrow talking again about Valentine's Day. Don't forget.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM.
New York City has jumped on the sustainable fuels bandwagon. That's next on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. New York City operates the largest fleet of municipal vehicles in the country, and Keith Kerman is in charge of it. His job is also to make sure the city can keep its promise to convert the diesel component of that fleet to renewables.
We want to do great stuff in New York City. We also want to be a model for what can be done across the country. Our renewable diesel announcement has gotten extraordinary interest. And so many organizations have come to us, big fleets, both public and private. And many of them ask, can we use your contract? And, you know, we can't always do that. But they all want to go the path we went and start using renewable diesel. So enormous interest.
Kerman says heating fuel conversion is also a project.
There's B5 in every public and private building in the state of New York today. And the city led the way there. And the fleet unit has adopted the heating oil program. And we're using B10. In our municipal buildings now. So we always want to be ahead of the curve. B5 is the state law and the city law. We're at B10. Once everybody's at B10, we'll try and get to B20 first. And just to give you a reference point, in the last 11 years, we've used in city government operations alone 450 million blended gallons with biodiesel.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Tune in for a special election Tuesday edition, the race to replace George Santos. We'll talk all about it on the Devils Advocates Radio Show, 4 to 6 p.m.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on 99.9 and 98.1 FM and 1400 AM WRJN and on the Civic Media app.
Finding the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The KreipsCast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
KreipsCast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on